We thank you for your healing word that will be enriching and enlightening to our spirits. We thank you, Father God, that we will be edified, and you will be glorified. Hallelujah. Through the teaching and preaching, the demonstration, the manifestation, and the revelation of your word. We thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit, our great teacher, our helper, our guide, our counselor. Fill and unfold the word of God into our spirits. Hallelujah. We give you all of the praise, honor, and glory for everything said, done, that magnifies Jesus as Lord. And we declare him as Lord of all. And we give you all the praise, all of the honor, and all that belongs to you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, part 3, faith for healing, part 3. Faith for healing, part 3. And so we'll start with Romans chapter 4, verse 22. He said he did not waver at the promise through unbelief. Promise of God through unbelief. That's a key phrase that we must not, we must also comply with. We don't, shouldn't. These are his provisions. Lord. But it says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So what was he fully persuaded or convinced of? That God was able to perform and fulfill his promise. Amen. And so you have to be fully persuaded of that as well. And it was, therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So this is the praise of faith. The praise of faith. Now we talked in our part 1 about faith for healing. We emphasized the receiving part of faith. And we said the steps to receiving are to say it, to receive it, and to tell it. Yes, to say it, to do it, to receive it, and to tell it. And we saw that through the woman with the issue of blood. You can also see it in David when he faced Goliath. So those four simply put get in a position to receive anything, anytime, anywhere from God that you need. And so we talk about faith for healing is that you're not trying to get healed, you're believing to receive your healing that already belongs to you. That your healing that has already been paid for and provided for. You're never in the situation where you're trying to get healed. We just have to get in a position to receive. And faith is a receiver. Hope's a waiter. It's a good waiter, but it's a poor receiver. So if we got it out there in the future, God's going to take away this thing. He's already took away that thing from your body. He's already took away that sickness from your life. He's already paid the provision for you to be healed of whatever disease, diagnosis, or disability that may be going on in your physical body, your mind, or your emotions. And then we talked about last week the resisting part. Faith for healing sometimes involves resisting. Everybody say resisting. So resisting is with faith-filled words, we resist and rebuke Satan. We rebuke sickness. We rebuke evil situations. So ask yourself the question, am I rebuking Satan? Am I rebuking sickness? Am I rebuking evil situations? Now, some of us encounter at least two of the three on a consistent, regular basis in this seasons of our lives. All of us face evil situations, negative circumstances. But the key in faith is that you have to resist it. How? With the power of rebuke. We talked about that last time. So we're to employ the power of rebuke against those evil situations. we said Paul, by the Holy Spirit, revealed to us some powerful keys to practice. In Romans chapter 8, he said, what shall we say to these things? Those things that he was referring to were the negative situations that occur in our life, were the evil circumstances that come on the scenery and the landscape of our lives. And so we have to say something to those things. Amen. And like we said, if you don't say anything, you lose by default. Amen. So all of us should be wearing out Romans 8, where we're saying, what should we say these things? If God be for me, this cannot be against me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Who or what can be against me? Amen. That's what you say. He freely gave me Jesus, and he'll freely give me anything and everything I need. Amen. Because he freely gave me Jesus, he gave us the best and paid the highest price for the best that he had. He gave us the best. He will certainly give us a replacement body part if we need it. He'll certainly give us supplies when we need it, financial provision when we need it. Come on now. Amen. He'll certainly give us deliverance when we need it.
Amen.
So people don't resist. They let the symptoms, sickness come all over on them without saying one thing. But if you're going to operate in faith for healing, you got to speak against those things. Sometimes you may have to rebuke that fever. You may have to rebuke and resist that headache. Amen. You have to rebuke those allergies that come on you every time of the year, or because you probably set things in motion through your words and say, every year about this time I get sick, I get come down with the flu. So your words have set a course of evil nature coming into your life experience on a consistent basis. And sometimes you got to break that curse and reverse that course. Now, Jesus broke the curse, but we have to change the course. Amen. Every time it gets cold or wet, you get achy and painful. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, fully persuaded, going back to Romans chapter 4, and convinced, fully convinced faith is a faith that gives glory, praise, and thanksgiving to God. See, if you're not fully convinced or fully persuaded, you don't think God is able to do it. Or God, I don't know if you want, will do this time. And the devil's right there to accommodate those nasty thoughts and doubting questions. Because he never comes at us about last time. He's always standing to resist our receiving and kind of stand in the way and hinder our receiving about this time. Amen. So when you believe that you receive, when you are fully persuaded and convinced in faith, you give glory. In other words, you give praise and thanks to God. We said this many truth many times. Doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Faith does what? Rejoices, gives thanks, and is what? Glad. Now, Dr. Lydia Meyomen said this in her book, His Healing Power. We can stand on God's word for salvation, healing, after we have met God's conditions and grounded every weapon of rebellion. Amen. That means you got to be right with God. Amen. And the blood of Jesus helps us stay right and get right with God.
Praise God.
What can wash away our sins? What? Nothing but the blood. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. So we can praise our way to a perfect manifested victory. So tonight we're emphasizing the rejoicing aspect of faith for healing. The rejoicing aspect of faith for healing. And this is what we call, and what we've called, and what Dr. Lillian Beaumont called praise cure. It never fails when the praises is an outflow of the heart resting on God's unchanging word. So we're not praising him because we are healed, but because God's word said we were healed.
Amen.
Now you got to get that. Don't miss that point. You're not praising because some people think, well, I'm not healed. I got runny nose. I'm stuffed up. Maybe my throat is sore and look like they got to take my tonsils out. Maybe my eyes are seeing spots I can't even see. I got headaches that's pounding. You're not praising God because you are healed or trying to get healed.
Amen.
You're praising God because God's word said you, by his stripes, you were healed. Now, you can apply this in any other area, too. So faith rejoices. I think many of you heard that Sunday. 1 Peter 6, 9 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice. In what? Though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Anybody ever going through stuff? Everybody ever went through stuff? He said, in that you greatly rejoice. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though you do not see him, yet believing, what you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory.
Amen.
How are you supposed to rejoice? With joy triumphant. Heavenly triumphant joy, Amplified says. King James says joy unspeakable and full of glory. That means you like you shouting like you just won. Somebody gave you $1 billion,
Amen.
And most times you would shout and holler.
Amen.
Unless you got $1 billion right now, and then we'll talk to you about giving. Hey, praise God. So receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now notice the bridge between believing and receiving is what? Rejoicing. Some people say, well, I believe in God, but they look like they're not receiving from God because they look like they're never going to get it because they're unhappy and they seem hopeless. See, when we stop rejoicing, we stop. Why? You heard it Sunday. Faith rejoices. If you say, I'm in faith, then you ought to have a catalog of intentional rejoicing going on about that situation and for that targeted for that situation. Now let's talk a little bit more broader about rejoicing. Okay, Philippians 3, 1 and 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in what?
The Lord.
Because here's where people get confused a little bit because they think I got to rejoice in that situation. No, the Bible never tells us to rejoice in that situation. In other words, for that situation, because of that situation. You're rejoicing in who? The Lord. That's why you declare Jesus is Lord and you rejoice in the victory that is in who? Christ Jesus, your Lord. He's victorious over everything. That's why he's Lord of all. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. So you rejoice in the fact that he died. He shed his blood. Come on now. He was buried and he rose from the dead. He is seated, was seated next to God in heaven, exalted to the highest place in the universe. He is Lord. And so you're rejoicing in the Lord. Because whatever you face, there's nothing that can overtake the fact that he's Lord.
Amen.
That he's superior and reigns supreme over everything and everyone.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He said, for me, these things to you is not tedious, but for you is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation. Now, these three individuals that he's referring to are what we call religious folks or legalistic Christians. That means they're always trying to see, what do I need to do to get my healing? How do I need to change to get myself together, to get my financial blessing to come through? And they're always trying to work for it instead of believe for it. He said, beware of these people that pull you from righteousness and relationship with God down to religion and rules that you supposedly have to keep for you get something from God. There's a lot of folks in there that fill in this category because they always want to give you their opinion and talk to you about, no, you got to do something. You got to follow these rules. You got to go through this, go through these hoops, do all this stuff. Now, first thing, you got to believe. Because faith rejoices. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. So he said, beware of people trying to take you down or take you back or keep you down. So he said, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the, what? Spirit. That's why you're supposed to worship God. And rejoice in who? In Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So don't put any confidence in your, listen to how I say this, your education, your experience, your expertise, your ethnicity. People real proud of their skin color. All it is skin.
Amen.
People real proud of their degrees or their educational experience or their educational acumen. That Paul calls it cow dung compared to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
Some people real proud of, I've been doing this for XYZ number of years. And so they think they're an expertise and they know everything about anything in that career field or area of concern. Don't put any confidence in your flesh.
Amen.
Jeremiah 17:5, you write that reference now. Tells us very clearly, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. So what is he telling us? He's telling us if we trust in a person aside from Jesus Christ, apart from Jesus Christ, we are doomed to fail. And in the context of what we're talking about, your faith won't work for you to receive your healing.
Amen.
Because you get looking at other people. And sometimes even in the medical, thank God, we always say thank God for doctors, thank God for medical, good, genuine medical practitioners. But they're practicing medicine. And then you're looking to them with all kinds of confidence. You go into that hospital room or that doctor's office without faith, shame on you. You ought to be believing God, trusting the Lord when you walk through that doctor's office. Because they don't know everything and anything about your body. Well, I'm not going to charge for that. Just share that. Okay. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Let's go to the next chapter. Rejoice in the Lord always. How often are we to rejoice? Always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, we're going to define rejoicing in a minute, but look at this in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 through 18. Rejoice how often? Always. There it again. So we got three references that tell us we should be rejoicing in the Lord, and we should be rejoicing all the time. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So this tells us that rejoicing should be part, really a daily part of our faith life and faith walk. Doubt complains, worries, and sad. So if you take a recorder and record your words, are you on the side of doubt? All the time you're complaining, crying, being critical and cynical about stuff. Well, you're on the doubt side. Hello, somebody. Doubt complains, worries, and is sad. Never happy. Always got a mean mug face. But faith does what? Rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad.
Amen.
Simple way to distinguish between the two sides we're talking about here. So by faith, we must rejoice in God's promises and the Lord's promise first. By faith, we must rejoice in God's promises and the Lord, our promiser. Look at what Job, two scriptures in Job, Job 39, 22. It says he mocks at fear, and it is not and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. So ask yourself the question, do I mock at fear? Or do I get mad and miserable under the pressure of fear? Most people get mouthy because they're anxious. They're angry. That's all fear-based, fear-dependent stuff. Amen. They begin to vacillate and worry, and so they're expressing their worries and concerns to everybody and anybody who will listen. When the Bible says he mocks at fear. Now, look at Job chapter 5, verse 22. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall laugh at destruction and famine. You shall not be afraid. Now, we've seen a lot of fear in the last 6 months or so. Yes. Haven't we not?
Yes.
A lot of people are afraid. He said, afraid of the beast of the earth. Now, you know, of course, they've made COVID-19 and coronavirus a beast of the earth. We've crowned it several times over. So these are two direct instructions on faith to employ in the face of fear. Because when you get a doctor's report, when you get a death sentence from the doctor, and they diagnose you with something that is terminal, it's incurable, what are you going to do? Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and it's glad, not because you got the death sentence or the doctor's report that's very unnerving. No, you, in the face of that, you've got to mock it for you. You may have to get up and say, excuse me, Mr. Doctor, let me go over here for a minute and turn toward the window or go to the bathroom and look yourself in the face and say, I refuse to fear. Amen. Because when we listen to all the facts and then we're just rehearsing the facts to everybody, we're not speaking by faith. We're not rejoicing in faith. We're complaining, we're worrying, and we're sad. Are you listening to me today? All right. So, friends, we must not only refuse to fear, but we also resist it, replace it with faith. Because fear will come. Will try to grab on to you like a vice grip and squeeze all life, love, and light out of you. And you become a fear messenger. You tell everybody how bad you've been dealt in life. Because I got this. Or I'm going through this. See, one big faith fact in the way is to laugh at impossibilities and rejoice in the Lord. So think about it. Am I laughing at impossibilities and rejoicing in the Lord? We give fear big bads a lot of times. And we magnify death, disease, diagnosis, dilemmas, devastations that come in our world. See, both laughing and rejoicing are products of joy. The joy of the Lord in our hearts. Now, why do we mock at fear? Have you ever asked that question? The Lord was reminding me today, you know, as I was preparing for tonight, he said, why do we mock at fear? Why do we laugh at destruction and famine? He said to me these words written down, because the enemy uses these evil and negative situations to get us to yield to fear. All worry, as we said, anxiety, doubt, sin, unbelief is fear-based and fear-dependent. See, when we tolerate fear, we eliminate our faith. When fear moves and manifests our words and our deeds, our faith gets contaminated and gets corrupted and corroded. That's a faith that doesn't work. That's a faith that won't stand. That's a faith that will fail to receive. See, then we displease God because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And why is God displeased? Because he's already given, through his grace, healing. He's already given, by his grace, help. He's already given, by his grace and goodness, provision. And we can't receive what he's given, so he's displeased because we're stuck in a wide gap. We're in a shortfall situation where we can't connect with God's provision, with God's promise now, because our faith has been fractured. Our faith has been injured. And God's not pleased when we're not receiving. God's not pleased when we're not overcoming. When we're walking through that evil circumstances as the victim and not the victor, then we're not pleasing God. It doesn't give glory to God because guess what? You're his child. You're God's very own daughter or son. And he's giving you the best. He gave you Jesus, that means he gave you everything and anything you will ever need. Amen. And so then we displease God. Then we start trusting what we feel, this is what to, and see, and what the natural or what the circumstances dictate. We start looking at the facts. We're not looking through the lens of faith. We're looking at facts, and the facts are creating more and more fear, fortification in our hearts and minds.
Amen.
Are y'all here?
Yes.
So as a part of our lifestyle of faith, we learn to rejoice in the Lord. You cannot just automatically get good at it, start off good at it. You got to learn to rejoice. And rejoicing in the Lord is in spite of what's going on in your life. Because notice I didn't say rejoice in your life. Because most people want to rejoice. When I did good, my team won. There's a little marginal rejoicing, right?
Yes, yes.
When the team wins. Amen. My team won last Sunday night. Praise God. I'm just looking for that. It's a little marginal rejoicing. And then, of course, maybe you got blessed with something a little more. But you see, that's in life. But how's your rejoicing in the Lord? And when we say in the Lord, we're saying in his word and his will for your life. Because God's will is not for you to be injured and sick and infirm and afflicted the rest of your days. Religion will twist you up and make you think that I'm suffering for God and this is a badge of humility. No, it's not. It's pride. God doesn't get pleased when your nose is the grindstone and you can't make it. Y'all here tonight?
Yes.
Amen. This is real stuff. Why? Because joy and rejoicing is serious business of heaven. The Bible says the God, our Father God, sits in heaven. You can imagine him sitting, and he's laughing. He's never without a full measure of joy. Because the Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. So you don't get around God and get around sad and sorrowful. Joy and rejoicing are serious business in heaven. Andrew Murray said that time before, I think is really important. And remember, secondly, we must learn to operate in the joy of the Lord. You know, faith will move mountains, but the fuse to that dynamite that will explode and blow away that mountain is joy. And like Dr. Jerry Savelle says, if the enemy can steal your joy, he can keep your goods. In other words, let's put it in context of tonight. If he can steal your joy, then he can keep you away from receiving your healing. Because faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad.
Hallelujah.
You're not telling the whole world and all your family members all the way down to your second and third cousin, I'm sick, I'm just broke, I'm so tired of this. Make a broadcast on social media, I'm just going through, you know, H-E-double-L. That's not giving glory to God. That's self-pity, and self-pity is demonic.
Amen.
You just yield it to the devil because you want attention for what the devil's doing in your life. We're not bringing adoration and praise to what the Lord's doing in our lives.
Amen.
So the devil's getting the glory. The devil's getting the press. He's getting the first take, the hot take in your life. Hey, we don't have to spread this. They will spread it for us. We got to learn to operate in the joy of the Lord. First, when you see the word, receive it with joy. You know, there's a scripture in John chapter 15, verse 11. It said, these things, Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy would be full. Evidently, the Lord wants us full of joy. So you need to pay attention to your joy monitor. Because the reason you rejoice is to get your joy level up on high or full. You got to get your joy level back to full. As you got to be excited about the word, because when you see it in the word, you should get excited that all the promises of God are yes and amen. And if you said it in the word, that means I can have it. I can appropriate it. Come on now, assimilate it into my heart and life.
Amen.
So when he says 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I am healed, then if I was healed, then I am healed. That means healing is mine. I have it. I can have it. I can take it right now.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now look at what Psalms 119, 162 says. I rejoice in your word as one who founds great treasure. See, the word that you get thrilled and excited about is the word that works for you. If you don't get thrilled and excited about 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, Psalms 103, verse 1-3, come on now. If you don't get excited about the healing scriptures, Psalms 107, verse 20, if you don't get excited about Proverbs 4:20-22, then that fuels your hope and starts the healing process in your life. You say, my healing's beginning right now because I believe his word. I'm excited about it. Why? Because faith rejoices. Faith rejoices,
hallelujah,
gives thanks, and is glad. I know that sometimes being a pastor, you know, you send people healing scriptures and they just, and act like, they act like, okay, I'm looking to you to do something. I'm looking for God to get me healed. No, he gave you healing right there. That's the evidence. Amen. Because faith is the substance of things that we hope for and the evidence of things not seen. Come on. The evidence called a verse of the Bible, a promise of God. The promises of God are your provisions from God. Because his words are enabling. They are empowering. They equip you with everything you need. All you need is, okay, I got this word. There's enough power in 1 Peter 2:24 to heal everybody. You go to the hospitals we have here in this town, Methodist, the VA hospital, wherever. There's enough power in that one verse to heal everybody in that hospital. And like we said before, healing always comes. When you land your eyes or your mouth on that verse, healing's coming right then.
Hallelujah.
But it's not always received. Why? Because we don't get thrilled with it. We don't get excited about it. When we get excited and thrilled about the word, then that's when the word goes to work for you.
Amen.
it's like God says, you know, like Pastor Mark Hankins says, shares about the Holy Spirit who told him one time, he said, you got to get 10, you get 10 seconds to get enthusiastic about that or get out of my office. It's like the Lord says, well, you're not excited about what I gave you in my word? Then get out of my office. But see, we get so caught up in the web of religion and rules and feeling guilty about this or shame about that, and the devil's beat us down and getting us in condemnation and fear, doubt, and unbelief, and we can't even move a finger in faith.
That's right.
We should be, as seasoned are we as we are in the Lord, we should be the most rejoicingest, praisingest, thankingest bunch. They ought to call us and label us praiseaholics. I'm not talking about alcoholics, praiseaholics.
Hallelujah.
Every time we're going on, every time somebody calls, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God. Praise shall continually be in our mouths. Come on now, come on now. We should be addicted thanksgiver, addicted to thanksgiving, not addicted to social media, not addicted to video games, addicted to giving thanks and giving praise to God. Hallelujah. We don't let 10 minutes go by. Like one pastor says, every time Brother Hagin, he said his lips were always moving. He was always praising and thanking God. He'd be watching the team. One time he was watching a football game. It was a college football game. And he's running with the running back. And he runs so fast, the chair flipped back. But he was just praying and thanking God right there, watching football. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen.
Amen.
The aspect of this is when you laugh at by faith and impossibilities because of your victory is in Jesus Christ. Your victory is not that circumstances changing. Your victory is in Christ already. You've already overcome everything that you will ever face because you're in Christ. In Christ, you're more than a conqueror through him who loves you. Come on now. Glory to God. You're more than a conqueror. The fact that you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus and the truth that the battle is the Lord's and it's not yours, you don't have to be battling.
Amen.
You neutralize and diffuse the fear and the threat environment. What's the threat environment? The threat environment that is that the devil has introduced fear through a person or an evil circumstance, a negative circumstance, and that fear comes. And he's told us several times in the Bible, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Come on now, somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise
you know fear doesn't belong. Fear is a foreign spirit that's trying to get on you. It's the spirit of the devil. So you show great respect for God when you laugh at the face of it. Like Smith Wigglesworth said one time, he said the devil came and manifested himself and was sitting in his lazy boy chair. It was kind of like lazy boy, but his chair downstairs. And he heard some commotion coming on, and Smith Wigglesworth got up, great man of faith. They call him an apostle of faith. But he went downstairs. He went downstairs and saw the devil sitting in his chair in his living room. And most people right there, they all get fear. And what did Smith say? It's you. I'm going back to bed. He respected God more than he revered the devil.
Amen.
You and I got to revere God more than we revere the devil.
Amen.
Somebody said, glory to God.
Glory to God.
And so you practice that thing. Say ha, ha, ha with me. Now, sometimes you got to do it. You got to do it by faith. Because what does faith do? Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and glad. Laughter is a part of your rejoicing. Shouting is a part of your rejoicing. Praising God, worshiping God is a product of rejoicing. Amen.
Amen.
Dancing in the Lord is a part of your rejoicing. Running. Those are all rejoicing practices. Laughter is a big one because he told us at destruction and famine, laugh. Nehemiah 8:10, Message Bible. This day is holy to the Lord. Don't be bad. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We always said this, just repeat it from Dr. Saville. If you have no joy, you have no strength. If you have no strength, you can't resist sin, Satan, sickness, sorrow, or that situation that is facing you. If you can't resist, then you don't win. Everybody say, I have to resist. See, you have to resist sin. Just as much as you resist sin, you have to resist sickness. And you can break sickness down to symptoms, the whatever's going on in your body or your mind. If you're having depressing thoughts, worry, temptations, anxious thoughts, then you got to resist that. Amen. Being full of joy gives you not only a face lift, but also a faith lift. Because remember, your fuse to your faith is what? Joy. Praise God. And so you don't want to be walking around 30 years in the Lord and you look like you're mad, you're mean, you're moody. There's too many people walking around mad, mean, and moody. Come on now. That shouldn't be Christian believers who are word of faith, Bible-believing Christian believers.
Amen.
Somebody say glory to God. Because joy gives you a facelift. You smile. And a faith lift. Look at Psalms 116:11, New Life Version. It says, you show me the way of life. Being with you is to be full of joy. In your right hand is happiness forever. See, your countenance should make you God conscious that I've been with the Lord. I've been with the Heavenly Father. I've been with the Lord Jesus. Your children, your family should know you're facing a big dilemma. How are you doing all right? And you're just radiating with the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
You say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The victory is the Lord's. The victory is mine.
Hallelujah.
I'm thank you, Lord, for the victory.
Amen.
Somebody say, glory to God. Y'all getting something out of this tonight?
Amen.
Psalms 5:11 says, let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Do that today.
Amen.
In these days, certainly. Let them ever sing and shout for what? Joy. Sometimes you have to sing and shout for joy. I remember one of our pastors, she would say this is one way she deals with great pressure. She's the CFO of the big ministry. You all would know it. And she said CFO means chief financial officer. She's the one to pay the bills. She's the one that looks at the bills. You know, people really just try to hide away from bills because they don't like the pressure of them. But she said, there's times when she has to play because the money didn't come in enough to pay the bills, but she's still got to keep her joy. Remember, because if you don't keep your joy, if the devil can steal your joy, if the devil can take your joy or steal your joy, he can keep your goods. And she said, she'd tell her assistant, play the song. Then come back. Play it again. Just keep it on keep it on loop. Repeat. Keep it on repeat. Keep it on repeat. Why? She's keeping her joy level up. Why? Because if I have no joy, I have no strength. The form of rejoicing. Look at this. It says, let also who love you be joyful in you, be in high spirits. We should be in high spirits. Psalms 100, verse 1 and 2, Message. Oh, on your feet now. Applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. That's a faith one. That's not a feeling one. Send yourself into his presence. That's what she was doing. Amen. Romans 14:17 through 18. I'm giving you a lot of scripture tonight. Just helping you. Amen. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So those three elements we should be dealing in and through all the time, every day. Righteousness, we got a good position, good relationship with God. We got peace. We got peace on our heart and guarding our heart and mind. And we got joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Those three things should be operating and flowing and functioning and flourishing through us all the time. It says in this verse 18, for he who serves Christ in these things, in what things? The things we just read, acceptable to God and approved by men. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourself in him. Again, I say what? Rejoice. So rejoice in the Greek, give you the technical definition, is to be cheerful, to be glad, to joy, to rekindle or stir up the joy by rejoicing exceedingly. To rejoying or refill your joy. So the Holy Spirit will prompt us to rejoice so that we can be filled with joy, filled with him, joy in the Holy Spirit. Why do you have to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit? Because you and I leak. Devastating news makes you want to leak. Depression and discouragement causes you to leak. Disobedience through sin, rebellion, strife, unforgiveness will make you leak. And we know what oil does to a car. And the oil in our lives, when it gets low, it needs changing. It needs a fresh supply. Your joy needs to be replenished and refilled. You know, we were driving a lot last week, and I was coming up close, and so the light on my car told me maintenance required soon. So it made me look at the mileage and say, okay, I'm real close. So I need to go get my oil changed in my vehicle service. We have to do that in a practical way with the joy in our lives. We have to change our oil. Now here, let's close this up with two more points. We're going to talk about laughter, the best medicine, and the power of thanksgiving and praise real quick. I'm going to give you some stories. So Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. That's why you need joy, because it'll strengthen your spirit, and then that will help strengthen your body. Amen. The basic Bible in English, the Bible in basic language says, a glad heart makes a healthy body. Notice how when you're mad, sad, moody, and miserable, you always ache in pain. You notice every little ache. Joints, muscles, tendons, nerves, they all bother you. And you bicker about them. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good right now. The Jerusalem Bible says a glad heart is excellent medicine, but a spirit depressed wastes the bones away. See, laughter improves our health, helping our immune system fight diseases, lowering our blood pressure, and fighting against heart disease. When people get unhappy, their heart starts to fail. So faith is believing and speaking, and the faith can sound like laughter at times. Yes, I'm suggesting you and telling you that sometimes you have to give a faith laugh. An F-A-I-T-H laugh, not a fake laugh. Amen. So you laugh in that faith because the Word of God tells you to laugh at destruction and famine. That's part of your rejoicing. Amen. Laughter that comes from your spirit and is targeted at the impossible situation will direct a flow of resurrection power that will give your life, give life to your body. Remember that destruction and famine you shall have. Job 5:22. You ought to highlight that in your Bible. See, whatever situation today, do as Job did. Laugh at destruction and famine. Don't languish it. Don't lacerate your loved ones with your sharp tongue because of it. Amen. Laugh at it. Glory to God. Everybody say ha ha ha. Now let's close with the power of thanksgiving and praise. We'll give some out in scripture. And we'll give a couple of stories. Y'all get some out of this? Look at verse 11. Luke 17, 11. And it came to pass, and he went to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus. And he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he went into a certain village. And there he met 10 men that were lepers. Now notice leprosy was an incurable. It was a quarantine required condition. They basically was to stay away from every people. They distance away, safe distance away from people, and then eventually die. It was a death sentence. It was a death diagnosis. And said these 10 men were lepers, which were stood afar off because they knew they'd come close, you know, they would be violating the quarantine. So, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. 10 men. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show thyself to the priest. That was what the word required back in the Old Testament. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And notice the four receiving points are here in this account. Because they said it, they did it, they started to go, they received it, as they went, they were cleansed. And then one guy told them. Now look at this. And one of them, when they saw he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, doing what? Glorifying God. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even in covenant with God. Now here's a stranger. Here's an uncoveted man receiving healing from Jesus. When healing is the children's bread. Healing belongs to you and me as children of God. Amen. Amen. And he said, and Jesus answered, said, were there not 10 cleansed? Now, Jesus is not just trying to figure it out. He knew that there were 10 cleansed because he gave the command. Show yourself to the priest. And as they went, the Bible says, they were what? Cleansed. Of what? Leprosy. He said, where are the other nine? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said to them, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now 10 were healed, but one was made whole. And if his faith can make him whole, he's not even a covenant man. Your faith will make you whole. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Hebrews 13:15 says this, through him, talking about through Jesus, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of what? Praise. So sometimes it's a sacrifice. When is it a sacrifice, Pastor? When you don't feel like it. When you feel like running your mouth and telling everybody about your problems. Amen. You need to go away and sacrifice some praise to God. Amen. And keep a grip on your lip. Yes. And don't let it slip. Are y'all getting something out of this? Yes, offer sacrifice to praise, which is the fruit of your lips, giving thanks, thankfully acknowledging and confessing and glorifying his name.
Amen.
Not because of it. Because of God's good. Because God's word is faithful and true. Come on now. Because God never is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that should repent. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll make it good. Why? God said, if God be for me, this cannot be against me. So you're thanking him for his faithfulness to his word. Sacrifice the praise. Because you have to sacrifice this flesh and keep the flesh under from falling into fear, frustration, and fury. You know how we get hurt, we want to hurt everybody around us. We get mad, we going out and we start annihilate and shoot and kill the people real close to us. Well, I'm not getting too many amens right there. All right. Psalms 8:2. You have built a stronghold by songs of peace. Strength rises up in with the chorus of singing children. Strength rises up. You're talking about spiritual children here. Because children imply innocence. And children are a lot of times laughing. This kind of praise has the power to shut Satan's mouth. So there's strength in praise to do what? To shut Satan's mouth. You're not going to get healed this time. They gave you dementia diagnosis, the onset of dementia, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And then you're going to no. You need to start praising and thanking God. Amen. Somebody said, glory to God. He said, childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. Even if it's those nurses and doctors that's trying to help you, they're opposing your faith. Praise, childlike worship will silence the madness.
Amen.
Somebody say, glory to God. Because see, friends, we don't have to be bound by fear, dread, or worry. We just rejoice. You don't have to be bound by fear, dread, or worry. I'm dreading to go because he's probably going to tell me something negative. And then you're depressed for the whole week because of words that they released into your head.
Amen.
See, confessing and praising God is simply aligning and agreeing with God. I believe your word more than anybody else's word. I trust what you have said more than what I feel or see. Praise God. Now, Brother Copeland, one time, a depression situation going on, and he said he was so depressed because he was discouraged in ministry now, because ministers can get depressed because we deal with a lot of pressure and mental issues. And he said the Lord gave him a key. He said, nah, you got to get rid of the depression. Because he wanted to quit, and he wanted to go home early. I mean, this is 40-something years, 45, 50 years ago, so probably, perhaps. He said he wanted to quit and just go to heaven because he's saved, born again, filled with the Spirit. Let's die early. Let's get out of here. Most people do when they get discouraged and depressed because they go to that next place of despair. They give up. They give up. And so the Lord told him how to do it. He said, why do I deal with this thing? Comes upon me and I get migraine headaches and I get there's so much pain and pressure on his mind, he said, that it feels like I'm going to crush under the weight of it. And he told him how to do it, rejoicing. He said, one, make a declaration of your faith. And it was a simple declaration. Satan, leave me now. He wasn't trying to figure out all the things that were going on with his head and with his headaches and depression. He just says, Satan, leave me now. And when you say Satan, you include sickness. You include sorrow. You include shame. You include all this other stuff that may be going on in your life. So he says, Satan, leave me now.
Amen.
And he said, then shout. And he did. He said, Satan, leave me now. And he shouted. The devil left. Depression left. The discouragement left. He was full of the joy of the Lord after shouting. Remember the Bible says, shout for joy. Amen. When Adam was dealing with the situation on a job where he needed physical strength and stamina because he's working outside, put up cherry trees. hard manual labor. He had just got up off a bed of sickness, had been in the ministry, and now he's called to work. But he said, "Man, I'm string bean. He's 130 some pounds, dripping wet." He said, and he's 6'1", 6'2", and so he's real skinny. He said, bending over and stooping and pulling up those cherry trees all day was tough. And he said, a guy came up and said, "Well, you know, everybody be gone and quit before I leave." This guy was 240 pounds. He said, his name was Alvin. He said, "Alvin," he said, "the Lord's bigger than 240 pounds." He said, "I declare by faith I'll be the last one standing." But he said, he used Psalms 27:1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The Lord is, not going to be. The Lord is the strength of my life. And he said he spent 8 hours pulling those cherry trees, and next morning he couldn't hardly get out of bed, stiff as a board, but he confessed by faith, and he moved his body to get to the place where they're pulling up those trees. And he said as soon as he bent down to pick the first tree up, that strength from heaven came up. He was able to operate in that strength all day long, pulling up those cherry trees. Somebody said, glory to God. Even so, to the point the guy wanted to hire him permanently and make him part of management. Praise God. So God can give you strength to endure whatever situation you're going through.
Amen.
The woman with the scales, one time in prayer, she was praying, and the Lord revealed to her two scales, and he showed her these scales. One side was her petition and her prayers, and then the other side was her praises. On the petition side, it was weighted down like bricks and stuff, and on the praise side, it was one feather. And the Lord said to her, "When your praise outweighs your petitions, then I'll heal you." So she stopped praying, and started praising. When the scales came up, the Lord told her, he said, "You filled up your praise." The healing manifested. Just remember, the bridge between believing and receiving is what? Rejoicing. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. One lady said one time, she said, she told Brother Hagin this. She said, "Brother Hagin, I don't even get to pray for my kids anymore. I have to pray for my kids. Anytime they get sick or they bring home something from school," she said, "I just get to praising God right over the kids, and I don't even get a chance to put my hand on them. I just praise God and tell, you know, thank the Lord that they're healed, and tell Satan, you can't touch my kids with this stuff. You get out of their body. You get out of them with the sickness or allergies or whatever that comes." And she said, "I just start praising and rejoicing, and all of a sudden the fever's gone. All of a sudden the headache's gone. All of a sudden the problems with their, you know, whatever's going on in their life is disappeared." How about we run houses where we just praise God first instead of pout about it and complain about it first?
Amen.
Last story was a woman who had incurable cancer. She was in her 30s. She was 36. She had three kids. She had a husband. And the doctor says that we can't do anything with this cancer. It's a very aggressive form of cancer. They gave her 3 weeks to live. "Well, the Lord told, worship me, and I'll heal you." So she took out as much strength as she could for an hour or two a day, walking around her dining room table, just worshiping God. Now, the 3 weeks ended up being 3 months, 6 months, and then 9 months. She went back to the doctor after 9 months, no trace of any cancer, no trace of any situation, no cell of any cancerous cell in her body. Somebody said, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Somebody said, glory to God.
Glory
this
God.
Is the praise cure that works every time. You praise him for his faithfulness to his word. Come on, stand to your feet. Let's praise him for just a second as Pastor Cynthia comes. Let's praise him right.